Gospel reading this morning is from Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The word of the Lord.
Everything that exists is made up of some sort of building blocks for our universe. Scientists tell us we have atoms. For living beings, we have cells. For log cabins, we have lumber. Well, that's all physical stuff, but then there's all the non-physical stuff in human life. The things that have to do with our hearts and our minds, our psychology, our thoughts, our emotions, our relationships, our spirituality. And when it comes to these sorts of things, I would argue that one of the basic building blocks of our lives is trust. Do we live in this world with the sense of trust? And who are we trusting and what are we trusting? Do we trust our loved ones? Do we trust our leaders? Do we trust strangers on the street? Do we trust in our future? Do we trust in God? And my experience has been that in life, our hearts swing kind of like a pendulum between trust sometimes and distrust on the other side, and maybe somewhere in between in other moments. Some experiences, some relationships make us trust more, and some experiences and relationships make us definitely trust less. And the thing about trust is it's kind of like salt. If you put it in the wrong place, or if you put too much in or too little in, you can spoil the batch. Story about trust and maybe putting it in the wrong place. I remember in the early 90s, I was in middle school, and at that time, one of the neat technologies that was coming out was called a Discman. Now, for those of you who are young and you guys have your iPods and iPhones, which can have 1,000 songs, at that time, the best you could get was a CD, and it was pretty cool to be able to take your CD with you in a portable disc player. And so I was really excited. I really wanted a portable Discman, which was, you know, about $80 to $100. And somehow, I don't remember how, it came out at school to some boy that I wanted a Discman. And this kid comes up to me and he said, "Oh, hey, Paul, I heard you want a Discman." And I said, "Yes, I do." And I said, "But I don't have enough money. I only have like 20 or 30 bucks. And he's like, "Oh, I can get you a Discman." And I said, "Yeah, but I only have 30 bucks. And he's like, "Yeah, that's enough." And I was like, "Really?" And he's like, "Yeah." And he said, "Just give me the $30 today, and tomorrow I'll bring you a Discman." So I gave him the $30, which wasn't very smart. Guess if he ever brought the Discman the next day or the day after that or the day after that. No, right? He hustled me. He took my money. And so that was certainly a moment when I learned that a person can be too trusting. But the opposite is also true. Too little trust can hold us back. I have a friend who works as a chaplain at the YCC. That's the youth prison in Mandan. And some of these kids have done some pretty serious crimes, and you hear about it, and you just think to yourself, well, how is this possible for such young people? But she shared kind of some of the outlines of the kinds of stories and the personal history that these kids have had to deal with. And one of the really common features of these poor kids who end up in prison is that they struggle to trust anything or anyone because no one has ever modeled trustworthiness to them. These are kids whose parents, for example, might lock them in the house for when they're 5 years old and leave for a week. These are kids who might have parents push drugs on them when they're 10 years old. Horrible things. And so for good reason, these kids struggle to trust. They struggle to trust that anyone really cares about them and wants to help them. They struggle to believe that there's a God who loves them. And they struggle to believe that their lives could be better than they are because they just haven't seen enough to make them feel trusting. And therefore, one of the core components of this ministry and of that center of rehabilitation is teaching these kids to trust and to know when and whom to trust. Because the fact is, as much as these kids, you know, have to be careful, they're going to need help to remake their lives. And if they're going to find it, they're going to have to learn to trust in the right things and the right people. But, you know, I think this is the truth that's true for all of us. We all need trust to live in this world with any sense of joy or purpose because we need relationships to have any joy or purpose. And without trust, we can have no positive relationships. Trust is what allows us to be ourselves with another person. Trust is what allows us to share our hearts and minds with another and depend on each other and spend time together and help each other when our neighbor is in need. In so many ways, investing trust in the right place, in the right people, is one of the keys of life. And as it happens, the same is true with our relationship with God. Trust is one of the core keys of faith. Today's gospel presents two stories, which in some ways, on the face of it, are quite unrelated. The story of Jesus ministering in his own hometown and the story of the disciples being sent out two by two. But I think what they share is the theme of trust. In the first section, we hear of a lack of trust as Jesus' hometown are unable to accept the ministry of their hometown boy, Jesus. Because they just can't imagine that someone so familiar, someone they saw growing up as the carpenter's son, could be God's chosen. It just didn't click in their minds. In the second section, we witness an example of radical trust as Jesus sends them out. He's trusting them and God that they're going to go out and share the gospel. He sends them out two by two, and not only that, he sends them out with basically nothing but the clothes on their backs and the gospel. And he trusts that good ministry is going to happen. Well, if you know Christ, chances are that maybe you can actually relate to both stories. It's not so much that we're completely one or the other. We're not completely the hometown folks who don't trust at all, probably. And we're not completely the disciples who trust radically. Probably the truth is that we're an uneven scramble of both in our faith lives. You know, if we take an honest look in the mirror, there are probably plenty of examples when we're more like the people from Jesus' hometown. Ways in which we fall short in really trusting Jesus. Certainly, when I look in my own heart, I can see that at best, I'm a part-time truster in Jesus. Jesus says to us, "Forgive those who wrong you," but when I feel I've been wronged, that's really hard, right? I don't really want to forgive right away. I want to hang on to the hurt. I want to find the person to blame. And sometimes, you know, that's the approach I take instead. Jesus says, "Love your enemies." And I know this in my head very, very well. But most of the time, when I think of my enemies, love is not the first emotion that spills out of my heart, right? Jesus says, "Be generous and don't build up treasure on earth." And sometimes I am generous, but as much as the next person, kind of like the disc man, my eye can be drawn towards stuff more than generosity. And maybe you can relate. Because the truth is, it's not so easy to put our total trust in Jesus. And maybe this can make us feel lost or like failures, but actually all is not lost. And all is not lost for a number of reasons, even when we struggle to trust. One reason is that even when we fail, even when we're lost, we still belong to God. Because Jesus actually loves the lost. Jesus once said that he came specifically for the lost and the sick and the hurting. Today we hear the story of the disciples displaying this wonderful trust as they trust God to go out with nothing and share the gospel. And all credit to them for this moment, this example of complete trust in Jesus. But let's not forget the other side of the disciples. These are the same disciples who would get in debates over which one of them was the best disciple, which one would get to sit at Jesus' right hand. These are the same disciples who would lose faith on the lake when a storm hits them, right? They don't trust that they're going to be okay because of Jesus. These are the same ones who are ready to condemn people who are walking around and who don't right away believe like they do, right? Right? Call down the fire on them, Jesus, they say. These are the same disciples who quickly abandon and even deny Jesus after he's arrested. And yet Jesus sticks with them. Jesus calls them. Jesus uses them to be the early leaders in his church. So if you're the broken and flawed and doubtful kind of Christian, you're just the kind of person who Jesus is looking for. And you're just the kind of person that Jesus would use to share his love in the world. Another reason that all is not lost is that even though we're not yet the perfect model of humanity, that doesn't mean that nothing is happening in us. In fact, I think we're all a work of progress in this world. You know, I know sometimes when I make mistakes, I can get down on myself and I can feel like I'm just as broken as the day I started my faith journey. And in some ways, maybe sometimes I am. But when I take a broader look at my life, I can see that actually I've learned and I've grown. And God is showing me things and using me for things that I never would have imagined I could be useful for. And I'll bet if you're following Jesus and if you take a broad look at your life and your heart, you might see the same thing, that actually you're not stagnant, but you're changing, you're transforming. God is working in you day after day, even amidst the mistakes in life. And the last reason that all's not lost, even when we fail, is that God can use exactly that which is broken in you to bring healing to another person. As Paul says, your weakness is your strength in faith. I have a friend who comes from a history of abuse in her home, and you know, this is nothing that's ever good, and I would never celebrate that. But she's an amazing person. She's, you know, dealt with this probably in the last 20 years, kind of worked through it in her own life. And because of this, she has become one of the number one advocates in our community for protecting kids who are unsafe. She's just become this well of resource and love and compassion and effort to help people who were in the situation that she was in. It's not that the bad stuff that happened to her was good, but it's that she's found in her faith a way to transform the ugliness into something to serve others. And actually, I think if we look at our lives and in this world and we look at faith, that's not an unusual thing. That's the normal thing. That's how it works to serve another. The hurt that we've known becomes our ability to help someone else who's hurting. The mistakes we've made becomes our ability to teach someone who's maybe in danger of making the same mistakes. God uses the crosses in our lives to bring life and love to other people. So in conclusion, we should trust God. And when we trust God, that's great. But as we're trusting God, it's not that we should trust God to lead us to Christian perfection in this life, as if that's how God usually works in this world. Sorry to say, Christian perfection is probably not going to happen in your life. It hasn't happened in mine, at least. But that's fine, because that's not really what grace is about. Grace is about when we don't measure up, and yet God loves us anyways. Grace is when our part-time trust and our failed efforts, along with our successes, are enough for Jesus. And grace is when we trust in God to use exactly what's weak and broken in us to be our ministry to others in this world. Amen.